When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech, Decking and Railing. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Mennelly, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, indeed. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech, Decking and Railing. We've seen this before, haven't we? Isn't that another, I think they said it well, botched is the buzzword of this game. How in the name of God did the Bears not stop the clock, not come away with at minimum a field goal attempt without trying to tie the game at the end there? That is, that's one for the record books, guys. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they were doing. I don't know how you don't take the time out there. Your receiver's all the way down the field. You can tell your quarterback is discombobulated. The whole offense is discombobulated. Once they're standing trying to make the call, you have to take the time out. You have to take the time out and try to get a quick pass and kick the field. You got to do something. You can't just stand there on the sideline and let the time run out with a timeout with the game on the line. I don't even understand what just happened. I really don't.
Yes, we do. Olin, we do. We've seen this story. We have seen this story. I'm not surprised. I'm really not. I mean, I think anybody who knows coaching 101, you would take a timeout there. But we've seen this story week in and week out. In these last couple weeks, the clock management, the game management, the call management, whatever you want to say it is, has been horrendous.
It's another one score loss. It's another one of these absurd, ridiculous endings to a game, whether it be, you know, Hail Mary full of disgrace or missing a field goal, having a field goal blocked, or this is a new one. This is another way to figure out how to lose and shame yourself. It's shameful.
I was going to call Pat and ask him, can they work on that field goal protection? Right, because I don't want to see that again, but they found a different way. They found a different way to say, well, we won't even worry about the field goal. We'll find another way to botch this game. And probably like you guys, my whole house is screaming, take the timeout.
Oh, my God.
Right, the whole like everyone watching the game is saying, take the timeout over and over again. And you see Caleb waving the receivers back to the line of scrimmage. The Lions are crawling on the ground celebrating. You can catch them because they're not disciplined there, but you're not disciplined. You can't get lined up. Borum, you know, the backup right tackle's in. Looks like they're going to run a quarterback draw or something, and the end just comes free. I don't know. That you have to rewatch it 20 times or 30 to try to figure out what Coach Eberflus is thinking there. You can only save your timeout if you have the option to save it. But if you need to use it, you got to use it.
This just sums it up, guys. I said at the pregame, right? I talked about like the war, the wins above replacement is in baseball for a football coach.
Yes.
It's hard to make the equation, but this is another one. This is on him at the end of the game. And if I hear him get on that podium after the game and say, I'm proud of these guys for their grit and determination, I might lose it. You know, that's what he said last week for the Minnesota game. If he says that today, you can't do that. As a head coach, you can't do that. He has to be embarrassed right now. He has to be sitting in his head coaching office back in that locker room and just shaking his head and like, what did I just do? I just made a huge mistake. And this is another one. I mean, it's just, it's another one. It's just, it's inexcusable. You know, we talked about if this was going to be an embarrassing loss, we can maybe talk about the first half as the hour goes along, how bad that was. And I'm sitting there like, all right, that's fireable offense. What's going on with that play and that effort and all that kind of stuff? Well, this right here, what he just did to his team, his organization, it's inexcusable.
The only thing I can think is he toggled onto the right, was listening to, you know, some kind of WLIT music or something. I don't know what how are you not aware of the game situation as the time runs out? It's mind-boggling. I don't know that I've ever seen that huge a blunder from a professional head coach. The guy is in the NFL. If this happened in a high school game, it would be scandalous. I don't know what this is. This is I don't know how you survive it, frankly. I really think this is the worst loss of the year. I don't know how else to think about it.
No, you did see it, right? In a Commanders game. You saw a guy not control the game in a Commanders game, not take a timeout. A cornerback talking to the, you know, it's just things we've never saw before. Like, I haven't seen these things. It's obvious to take the timeout there. We talked about going into the game. How would they find a way to win? And they would have to learn how to win. And the head coach, the management part. And you know, that's what we talked about. Okay, like somebody, Ryan Poles, somebody step in and tell him you need help at the end of games. What is your process in critical situations? We talked about that, guys, in the pregame. What is his process in critical situations? Who does he talk to? Why do you challenge the plays you challenge, right? We saw one again today. It was a crazy challenge. Like, why do you do those things? Who's helping you with those decisions? Who's helping you at critical situations at the end of the game when you should take the timeout, when you're on the sideline yelling, hurry up, go, go, go. Coach, once there's 10 seconds on the clock, it's too late. You have one play left, Pat. You have one play left when it hits 10 to 8 seconds. That's all you have.
Yeah, I understand the guy that's supposedly up in the booth talking his ear, helping with situations. But ultimately, Olin, in my opinion, this is all on him, right? This is what you sign up for.
Does he even have that process?
I know. I don't know. Process, yeah, right? I know. Right. Yeah. But it's on him, right? If he doesn't, well, that's even more on him. That's even worse. It's inexcusable, man. The guys in the locker room right now have to be like, Coach, you're hurting us. Like, you're hurting us from winning games. And they've talked about in their locker room, like, they feel like they have talent. They feel like they're close. They feel like they should be winning more games. And we're seeing why it's happening. It's the head coach's decision-making and in-game decisions and all that kind of stuff. And obviously this big blunder at the end. And what's bad, too, guys, this is a nationally televised game. This wasn't a noon on Sunday buried in regional TV. This was nationally televised with everybody with their family sitting around watching this. And Olin, you said your kids were screaming. Mm-hmm. How many other families around the nation were screaming at the end of the game? Timeout, timeout, timeout. Mm-hmm. I've got 35 text messages now that are just coming in from people just saying, what did your coach do? What did your coach do? And these are buddies all around the country. And that's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing situation for Coach.
I mean, I'm just out of words, right? I'm just out
I know.
Of words no. after I know. Watching that because – like you said, Pat, we'll go through it in the hour, but your defense holds its head up and bulls its neck in a red zone against an offense that I didn't think they could do that against, right?
No.
And you do well against the guy who's number one to take your job if you fail, right? You do pretty good on defense. And you do a nice job, and you know, your backup right tackle goes out, your backup comes in, Caleb's heroics come again. You know, we'll talk about the first half, but the heroics in the second half, throwing the ball, finding guys, they finally found the matchups with all the injuries in the Lions secondary with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and that route Keenan Allen put on that guy in the red zone, man. That's artwork, man. But at the end, again, you end up at the end of the game. And they're talking about it on the post-game show. They're wondering why didn't he take a timeout. Everyone's wondering, but if you go all the way back, the guys who've done the show, guys who follow this team, you're shocked, but you're not, as you said, Pat. Like, this is we do know what happened.
Yeah.
You're right. It's just new. That's all. He just hasn't done it this way before. I mean, he's had terrible moments and inexcusable finishes. And God bless Caleb Williams if he can survive this guy as a head coach. Because, I mean, good Lord, what more? I got to be honest with you. First time I've really thought, wow, you know, no wonder he kicked the field goal with 46 yards away. Because he didn't want the clock to run out. That's why he called the timeout with 35. I know. I'm just saying these are so idiotic. It's just beyond human comprehension.
Let me ask you guys this. Is it worse they lost this way? I'm talking about him possibly being fired tomorrow, right? I think everybody's talking about that. They've never fired a Bears head coach, but you know, they got a longer stretch here between games, and that would be the time to do it. What would have been worse to you guys? Losing 52-17 or the way you lost here?
52-17 obviously would be worse because that would mean our young quarterback would be terrible, right?
And right, okay.
When you're watching that young quarterback play today, I was thinking at one point, Pat, very rare do I think to myself, we have the playmaker, right? We have the guy. Right, I'd rather have Caleb than Goff at this moment. That's what I was thinking when I was watching this game.
Wow.
They have to be worried about the way this guy is making plays, and it was obvious they were going to the mesh routes. Cole Kmet's got to stop just like planting his feet and blocking people like he's a center in the middle of the field. But other than that, man, I mean, the calls are good. He was that throw he threw to DJ when Tevin's guy hit him. What a throw, right? What a throw there. Him and DJ Moore, we can put to bed that they don't have chemistry now. And you're just the whole time you're thinking to yourself, I'm thinking to myself, the storyline is when will they learn how to win?
Yeah.
Right. And then we talked about in the pregame, when would the coaches learn how to win? Are they the ones that have to learn how to win football games? And the answer increasingly, guys, is becoming yes. The answer is becoming yes. Like it's on, you hate to put it on someone's shoulders, but it's on the head coach. And you talked about, Pat, would you fire a guy if it was an embarrassing loss? Everybody talked about that. Mm-hmm. Well, it was an embarrassing loss, man.
Yeah,
it was. It wasn't a blowaway.
Yes.
But it was embarrassing.
But that's what I mean. Like it's an embarrassment in a different way, right? Because this falls directly, I mean, 52-17 if it would have been different. But this is a coaching error. This is truly a coaching error. I'm not saying they would go down and convert the first down or get a field goal and all that kind of stuff, but just game management situations. Like you said, Olin, your entire family screaming timeout, the entire country screaming timeout, and he just doesn't know. And that's you can't do that to the guys in the locker room.
My father-in-law was on the couch. He said, the game's not over. I said, no, it is. It is over. Like he couldn't believe.
Right. Right.
And I think someone told him, no, it says final. And he just kept staring at the TV like, no, it doesn't say final. I'm like, no,
it's not supposed to end that way.
No. They shouldn't let it.
I just ran into the office to do the show because I didn't want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I really, really, really an unbelievable stretch of Bears games. Really is with the Commanders. Mm-hmm. The field goal block, the losing overtime, the lose to the Lions just really is an unbelievable way to keep losing. Finding ways, like we said, Pat, going to the game, we talked to Dave Burkett. We used to say, let the Lions lion.
Yep.
That right there, if you were listening to our pregame show and you were wondering what we meant by let the Lions lion and now let the Bears bears, the Bears did the Bears right there and they found a way to lose that game.
I remember a game talking about that. Remember the one that Peanut had the interception in overtime? It was kind of a close game, and they weren't that good of a team. We were a pretty good team, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, we're going to win this game because the Lions are going to do what they're going to do. And Stafford threw the ball right to Peanut, and he scored. And that's and now we're turned into the darn Lions. And that's just it's depressing to watch.
It really is. Not for nothing, and I know this is meaningless, and we got to talk about so many more important things, but – the math, you know, whoever their mathematician is, when they go for the 2-point conversion and they don't get it, I was sitting there like, what, why? And then you come down and you take a 2-point conversion. So you scored 21 points, but you get credit for 20. You could have been at the end of that game with a kick to win it. And maybe that changes your mentality if you're that guy. I don't know. But I mean, I'm very frustrated, clearly, and I know that's a meaningless thing, and we got to get into whatever they called on Keenan Allen because he got his helmet ripped off, and then Tevin Jenkins is playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I think the guy's head fell off at one point, and, you know, Kendallville were there to the rescue. What happened in the end of that game? How do you not tie that game? They should be in overtime right now.
They should be.
They should be.
In overtime, yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, Pat. Sorry.
Yep. And then I'm just going to say, it's just at least we can say the Bears have been entertaining. Disappointing, but entertaining, right? It's just been you didn't know what was going to happen. And Olin, you texted, like, I hope they get a win here. And you did. I'm like, just get a win. Let's be completely wrong. I want the entire country to be wrong about our predictions, all that kind of stuff. Let's feel good for a week. And then they go out and just make it more embarrassing than you thought they could do. I mean, it's just you fight back. And, again, if I hear that, I like their pride and grit or whatever he said last week. If I hear him say that in the post game about this game, it's ridiculous. You can't do that. This is just so disappointing.
Yeah, for fourth and four, right, you get that penalty on Cole Kmet. And then we get the penalty on Vildor. Then they go back, and then we get a penalty on Tevin Jenkins, who was struggling with the bull rush all game. Yeah. Saw it right off the bat, right? And then like a weird sack on Caleb. I don't know if that was a quarterback draw or what they were trying to do there. Just like Borum didn't get out of his stands. And then from there, I mean, that play went off, I think, with almost 36 seconds. And with 36 seconds, you get sacked, and the game's over, right, after the next play. And we don't even throw it to the end zone. Like that's how unorganized and discombobulated we looked, that we didn't even have an idea. Not only did we not have a chance to kick the field goal, we didn't even have a chance to throw a Hail Mary to the end zone to try to win the game.
Yep.
It's just too unorganized.
I mean, that goes back to situational football I talked about last week, right? I'm looking at the play sheet here. 36 seconds to go with one timeout, and you take that sack. That's situational stuff you do in OTAs, you do in training camp, you do in during all the offseason, you do it every Thursday. And that's also what the coaches do during the offseason when players aren't out on the field. They talk about situational ball, and that's your job as a head coach, special teams coach, offensive coordinator, whatever it is, to help figure that out. And to see it just be bungled like that, I keep trying to figure out an adjective to describe it. It's baffling that you can't understand the 36 seconds with one timeout to go and all you need is a field goal, how you deal with that. All right, what if we get a sack? What if he stays in bounds? All those different situations should be discussed and understood, and your head coach should be the one that should be able to process all that.
Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is, gosh, you were texting each other saying, gosh, they could win this game.
Yes.
Like, it'd be great to get a win here, right? And the defense comes out in the second half and plays a great half, and so does the offense. And that is coaching too, right? Mm-hmm. That's coaching adjustments going against this coaching staff that people are raving about, right? I think Aaron Glenn's unit is only giving up 11 points in the second half in like four games.
Yes.
Right. But Thomas Brown comes out, makes adjustments. Caleb works the pocket, starts throwing the ball down the field. I mean, a lot of passing, but you're down by so many points, right? And our defense decides they're going to give this Lions vaunted offense that when I watch, I gave them no chance to stop.
Yeah.
No chance at all. And they did. They stopped them. And just at the end of the game, again, clock management. Again, I don't know, weren't they in field goal range before all the penalties?
Yes.
It just is kind of, it's crazy to watch this team find ways to lose. And again, I guess they're just trying to get me to my 100th loss as an analyst.
As an analyst.
In 10 years, right? They're trying to get me to the record. Wow. I think they'll give me a jacket. I have my Bears 100 jacket on. Maybe that means Bears 100 loss.
Well, we don't want that. they were down to the 25-yard line with 46 seconds to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and you end up, yeah.
How
yeah,
do you
yeah,
not yeah, end up at
He's
least
come
in
out
overtime.
And say, you guys all wanted more yards. I went for it. Oh, yeah. That's what they come on and go. Say. You guys all wanted more yards.
Oh, man.
I guess Twitter has, like, blown up, and I don't mean in a good way. I mean, it's, like, ceased to exist. It just completely disintegrated with a giant Bears loss thanks to Matt Eberflus. And we'll try to get the audio turned around and find out if he wants to do a mea culpa, if he wants to congratulate everyone. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know. I honest to God don't know how you could even defend it. I've never seen it. He might be better off not speaking, just saying Happy Thanksgiving and walking away. I don't know what he can possibly say that would be acceptable, and it just seems like a great opportunity for him to further embarrass himself.
You might be right. You might be right. And I do wonder if there's conversations. You heard about the conversations with Trestman, I think it was taking place at Green Bay, about firing him or whatnot. I just, again, as a player now, Olin, you know, we sit on the bus after games, and we would always talk about what we could do more, what happened here, what happened there. And then I think these guys sit on that bus, and they're like, what is Coach doing?
Right.
What is Coach doing? And that's the last thing you want to hear from your players. And that's, I mean, I think that's what we would be doing, Olin. We'd always sit back there. It felt like it was our own little sanctuary, the back of bus number two, where we could kind of openly talk and discuss things. And I guarantee you guys are doing that on the bus ride to the airport after the game.
So many times now, right? They've done it so many times.
Yes.
So many games in a row. And, you know, that last drive, guys, starts on the 1-yard line. right?
Yep.
Starts on the Bears after that guy. I mean, I'm screaming, his heels on the line. I'm basically begging, right? I'm trying to get us a call and get us to the 20. You know, obviously, they didn't over, you know, it wasn't, but, you know, and then Caleb makes a great play to DJ Moore again, gets him off the goal line, few more throws. And I mean, you're like that offense, it seems like everyone's feeling it, right? Here's the Bears, and you're thinking they've lost so many times because of situational football. They have to be ready for every situation by now. That's what you're thinking, right? Like, there's no way you have, like, in all these weeks since the Commanders game, there's no way, Pat, you haven't worked on every situation.
No, no doubt.
You have.
No doubt.
To make that mistake again just means, to me, I hate to say this, it means you can't figure it out.
No, he doesn't know it. He just doesn't know it. He doesn't have it. I don't think he has that, you know, some guys are better with clock management and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he has that. He's obviously not good with game situations and management of challenges and all that kind of stuff. But let me go back to Olin. You said something. You talked about there on the 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here watching the game and I'm like, all right, Caleb, what do you got? Right. And I had confidence in him. And this is, when's the last time we've had that in a quarterback?
Yeah.
I had some confidence in him. That's encouraging. I will say that. I got to bring that out, that I'm a little encouraged in that I remember, like, this kid might do something. Well, he did. He unfortunately took that, you know, the draw sack or whatever, but he got him into position to score, and his head coach fails him. Fails him in another time of a chance to win a game.
I'm rethinking the post game. I think he should come out and resign in shame. I think that would save everyone a lot of hassle.
Everybody would be thankful.
You're just interested in – I would love – we'll never – well, with this team, we might, right, with how much everyone talks. I would love to get to the bottom of their process in those situations because – just because I'd like to get to the bottom of it because it doesn't work, right? Yeah. Like, I would love to ask Ryan Poles and Coach Eberflus and whoever else is in the decision-making in the building, what is your guys' process in critical situations in games? Who is there saying, okay, we have one timeout? You know, Caleb, he gets sacked. There's a couple times in there, like they almost had a delay game, took a timeout because he was peeling himself off the ground. He was getting hit a lot late in their game, but he was getting hit. You could tell his knee was bugging him from that one shot. He got hit later in the game. Yeah. They had to take delay of games, a timeout, so not get delay of games. They were slow getting back. At what point, who is the conversation between Coach Eberflus and who is it? Who are we having conversations with when you throw the red flag? When you have to call a timeout against Commanders, Pat? Who is it that – I don't need to know who. I just want to know if there is a process of a collaboration that we keep hearing about.
Well, I'll just tell you this real quick. The four special teams coaches I had with the Bears, that's their job as well in the two-minute drill, to help the head coach through that situation. They're always clicking through the headset, helping them get through that. And then I think there's also – should be somebody else in the booth to be a little bit – further than that to help them out. But that's the way it's been when I was there. You know, it was 11 years ago that I played, but it's normally the special teams coach is in the ear trying to remind him of situations. And that's what I've always seen in my career.
All right. The number is 312-644-6767. We already have a lot of people who want to check in. We'll get to your calls. We'll talk about this. There's not even a word to describe it. It's just an awful result, and maybe we'll ask the big question, which, of course, is Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. We'll do that next. You're listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderver Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's to Gibbs, to the 10, ball comes out, and it's recovered by Chicago's Dexter, and that's again the first fumble lost by the Lions at home in 1 year since last Thanksgiving Day against Green Bay.
Boy, if you ever needed a play to go your way, the Bears get it. Who comes flying in right there? Was that Stevenson?
Tyreek Stevenson.
Saves the game.
Welcome back. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, TimberTech Decking and Railing. And that is the hit of the game. That is our choice, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Tyreek Stevenson forcing the fumble from Jahmyr Gibbs saved a touchdown in that game and really big moment in the game. I don't know that Tyreek had a good game. He did also force a 15-yard penalty when the ball was thrown in his face. But there you go. That's our hit of the game.
Now, I was thinking he could be that kind of guy, right, Pat, where you learn as a young guy, if you have an ability to irritate people, to constantly yes. talk to them, to constantly do things to them. And as long as you're forcing them to make dumb mistakes, Tyreek Stevenson with that fumble cause, as he gets older, as he develops, as he matures, someone should sit down and tell him, okay, look, you got a special gift for irritating people. Just you can't get irritated too, right? And there's that, the guy that played for the Saints, and then he went to the Eagles. What was his name? Remember the Bears guy punched him in the after the play.
Oh, God, yeah, that was
awesome. And I think
oh,
for the yeah, Lions too.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Roma Shadou? Right who, which
no,
one?
No, Roma Shadou was the receivers were the ones that punched him, yes. But
Yeah. Someone punched him.
I'll get his name
him.
Before it ends, but he does.
No,
he,
I'm saying,
he,
I think, yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I thought Roma Shadou had punched him, but you're right.
Yeah, I think, I forget who it was, but he's made a career out of just being an irritant on the field, right? And you have guys who are natural at that. The only thing is you got to walk the line of you don't get irritated. You're doing it on purpose to other people. So Tariq Stevenson caused a fumble, draws a personal foul, hopefully developing and maturing into the player the Bears need him to be.
Yeah, and if I remember right, that was the player they warned him about, right? It was talked about all week, like this guy can cause irritate you, and he still is so good. Mm-hmm. He got him to throw the punch. Yeah, Tariq Stevenson, I hope that young man kind of figures it out. You know what I mean? He went through that terrible situation at the Commanders. His play has been slipping, but the young man is talented. And Olin, we've played with a lot of guys that had that talent, but then they were out the door, right? They just weren't doing the right things all the time. They weren't in the playbook. They were maybe late to meetings and all that kind of stuff. I hope he becomes a more of a pro sooner than later because the kid is talented. He should be on the field, but there's a lot of intangibles he needs to work at.
Yeah, it was Javon Wims, and a guy's name is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, right?
Yes, that's it.
Like you're talking about, Pat, though, that goes to the big conversation of everything to do with the Chicago Bears in developing players that you need in the building to play at a high level and keep them moving in the right direction.
All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. 312-644-6767. Let's hear from Cullen. He's in Northfield. Hey, Cullen.
Yeah, hey, guys. Another Sunday. Thank God it was the early game, and I didn't have my turkey in my stomach, so I couldn't throw it up all over my floor and my children. Because I'll tell you what, I've got a five-year-old now who has not experienced a breath of fresh air where the Bears have beaten the Packers. That's out in Eberflus. And now I've got to watch on Turkey Day where we've got a head coach who's now deciding to be the chief idiot officer of the Chicago Bears on top of being the coach. I don't understand what else it's going to take. The only thing I'm thinking right now is that George and Matt have a play date on Monday and they can't fire him today because Virginia has to cut the crust off their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and pour them nice tall glasses of warm milk and they can sit around and play with little Green Army guys together. I don't even know what else is going on anymore. I'm so sick of it. That's it. I'm done.
Cullen, you still there? Did we hang up on him? Oh, did your no, five was your 5 year old was your 5 year old yelling at the TV to call a timeout at the end of the game?
No, my 5 year old could do a better job. That's what I'm talking about. The play date. Like he could do a better job at the end of the game than these guys than that Eberflus can. It's unreal. Thanksgiving. Like, give us something. Let us be grateful for something with the Bears. Like, I'm grateful that Keenan Allen was making great plays, I guess. I'm grateful that Caleb is starting to get it together. And yes, he's going to make rookie mistakes, but get this guy out of their way. He's gonna ruin everything with these guys. Bring in Lovie. Can we get Lovie for, like, 6-7 games? Like, just bring him in. He's not doing anything right now, and he could just right the ship, just like a bridge. Get that guy in here. He's a calm presence. He knows what he's doing. You guys know he knows what he's doing. And get this idiot out of here. He doesn't deserve to be running an NFL team.
There's so many people on Twitter complaining. I just laughed aloud at this one. Has any coach cost his team more in one season than Eberflus of the Chicago Bears? I hope he's secretly putting money down on the opponents, which would be the most charitable explanation for his abysmal time management at the end of games. That's from David Axelrod, formerly of the Obama administration, who's a CNN commentator. He's from Chicago, so anybody from Chicago has lost their mind today.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's been a frustrating run, man, for everybody to watch. And Cullen's talking, and you know, he wants the peanut butter jelly sandwiches and G.I. Joe dolls, and that's how frustrated you are when you watch the Chicago Bears and you watch them get close to winning, and then they find ways. We keep talking about finding ways to win. They're finding ways to lose football games. And I mean, the only holdup at Halas Hall, I guess, could be what is our defense like without Coach Eberflus calling the plays could be the only argument right now, right? But right now, I mean, you're on a 6-game losing streak, Mullen. I think you talked about after a 3-game losing streak, someone gets fired after 6. I mean, I don't know what happens there. I mean, it's just when you watch these decisions, when you're sitting there and when you're on the sideline, it's fast in the game. But when everyone is talking about your game management and you're still having game management problems 5 or 6 weeks later, then we all need to start to wonder what actually is going on up there. And I hope someone up there is heading to the office to get some answers.
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe I'll do it next segment. But I went back and looked at Ryan Pohl's comments to start the season of how excited he was, how great Eberflus was of keeping this team together, how he fought through the year of, you know, not having the talent and how he's going to be moving up and be this great head coach. Well, we're in year three, week 13, right? And I said this last week, we're in year 3, week 12, and he's still making giant blunders as a head coach. And we went into this year evaluating, I wanted to evaluate him as a decision maker. And he's just, he's almost gone, regressed a little bit. But maybe in the past they weren't in that position to win like this because they didn't have the talent. But now he has the talent, and they're getting in a position to win, and he's costing them games. And at that says a lot to me about a head coach that, you know, I said it before. They're sitting in the back of the bus, guys, and they're like, man, scratching their head. What is coach doing? What is coach doing? What are these decisions?
Well, we heard a lot about that 4th-and-4 last week. We heard enough about that from the special teams coach, from the head coach, from the wide receiver, from the everybody talked about that, right? And then now we get to, you know, we heard everyone talk to us about the Hail Mary. Now everyone's going to talk about this, Pat. I just don't know how much more times we can do this.
Here's a statistic for you. Just in case you were wondering, this is from the Associated Press. There have been 221 coaches who have 20-plus career games decided by 7 points or fewer. Of that group, Matt Eberflus's 227 win percentage in those games, he's 5-17, ranks 221st.
Wow.
That's worse. That's the worst of anyone who's ever had 20 one touchdown games or fewer points.
Wow.
Last. I mean, you can't make that up.
No,
you cannot make that statistic up.
And that's stuff they should be evaluating upstairs, right? You talk about upstairs and McCaskies and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. They should be evaluating that. And this, to me, it screams like I'm going to say it over and over, and hopefully they're hearing it. Players can't be happy with this. The players cannot be happy with the coach making the mistakes. I understand players make mistakes and we can yell at them and all that stuff, but these are not physical mistakes that are being made, that players might drop a ball or have a penalty or a whatever. This is a coach making a decision, and you were paying him a lot of money to be the CEO of your football team on the field, and he can't make the proper decisions.
Whew. Yes.
That's all we got.
Resounding yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, listen, I mean, honest to God, to have the game end like it is, it's a scandal. It's something that has to be examined, needs to be looked, needs to stop. You can't keep doing this to a young quarterback who's having these big moments. And we talk about how important the quarterback is to the future of the franchise. We're all seeing the same thing and celebrating his ability to win at the end, but they can't win a game. Because at the end of the game, they can't make any correct decisions to figure out how to, you know, when you come out and you say, we're doing so well, we just have to finish. And then you have that finish. Holy mother of God. It's just awful.
Mully, it's a different way to evaluate the head coach. We always talked about, are the guys still playing? Have they quit on the team? You know, have they quit on the coach? This is like, did the coach quit on the players? Is he done coaching at the end of games? Does he only want to coach for 3.5 quarters? I mean, it's just a different way to evaluate the head coach. You know, you talk about firing a coach in the middle of the season or at the end of the season. Well, this is a different thing you're looking at. This is a different evaluation that he's actually costing you wins. And that's just a different way to look at it for me. And I wouldn't be happy with it.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to have his moment when he said at halftime, when everyone was making jokes about him, that we just have a bunch of concepts and they have to pop.
Yep.
And they're about to pop, I think he said. And they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the offense came out. It felt a lot like the Commanders game when we're down 9-0 and then we start to score, right? We're down 16-0, but we're hanging around. And you're thinking, man, they keep holding them out of the end zone. We're really not out of this yet, right? And talking about Tyreek Stevenson's caused fumble under a minute and Javon Dexter jumps on it. Go to halftime, 16-0. It should have been, 23-24-0, but it wasn't. So we're right there and we score and now we're right in it. And it's just kind of, you're hoping for this moment. I'm thinking to myself, there's no way they haven't studied every situation in case they get into these end of the game moments again. In case they get into this situation again, there's no way they make a critical mistake from the head coaching position, from a game management standpoint. In my mind, Pat, I'm thinking no way, man. As much studying as these guys do, as many hours as they stay in that building, they must be doing situational football every single day right now up there at Halas Hall. And like Mully said, they created something new for you.
Yeah.
And I'm screaming, 20 seconds, something like, take the time out, right? Take it. Like your young quarterback's discombobulated. They're trying to get the receivers on the field. No one even knows. Coleman Shelton is half telling people to line up. You didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Right.
From the sideline, if you see that, and then it gets down and they leave, you're on the bus with a timeout and a loss.
Yep.
Crazy,
does that go
man.
Good with
he
turkey?
He just called timeout on the bus.
Yeah. Hey, does that go good with turkey and gravy? An extra timeout?
Man.
Well, I mean.
A lot of vodka.
If you leave people fearing they're going to throw up on their children, I don't think that's a good feeling.
No.
You know what's amazing too is the stats at halftime, just how that game changed, the fact that the Bears came back.
Yeah,
but I think they had 17
first downs.
But they had 17 first downs and only 16 points, and there was just different ways you could work all their numbers that it just didn't make sense. This fact they didn't have as many points for the yards and first downs, and how bad the Bears played. And
they had 155. They had 155 rushing yards.
Yeah.
In the first half. Like, you just felt like the defense is going to crumble because you can't stay on the field that long.
I mean, when they did that reverse pass
I was getting
to Penei Sewell, I wanted to beat them so bad from that moment on.
Oh, my God.
Right? Because at first I thought, I was in the huddle. He was on the other side, and I said, they're going to tackle over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had him at the slot, and then they ran a reverse to their right tackle, and he was going to pass the ball. Basically, like making you look like like we're not idiots, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And thankfully for their OC, who's a good coach, thankfully he wanted to get tricky all day within a 15-yard line. He kept us in the game, right? And Thomas Brown, thankfully, finally came out in the second half, and I think it was the first time he ran the ball twice in a row. Like, he didn't do it the whole first half.
Yep.
And I didn't know what he was doing, right? And it got them going a little bit, and Kato started making plays in a run game and give the ball to Swift. And it was just when they did that to Penei Sewell, Pat, like, I mean, I was wearing my Bears shirt, and I was not happy with them treating us
like
that.
I thought of you, Dustin, when I saw Olin, I thought of you when I saw that. I laughed out loud. I was like, wow, that's the height of it, isn't it? I mean, it's like, it's beyond arrogance. It's just like, now we're going to run the tackle.
It's embarrassing. That's when good teams toy with bad teams, right? You put those trick plays in just to kind of mess with people later for your run to the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. They think of us like that?
Right.
Oh, well.
Like 7 points is not that important, right? Like, we're going to beat these guys. And the sad thing is they end up right.
Yep.
Right? They end up right. And, you know, even in the first drive of the second half, we have to get all the way to a 3rd and 14 before Caleb hits Keenan Allen for 18 yards, right? And then we get going, right? And then he gets going, and he's moving the ball on touchdown. And this guy, when he gets hot, he is scary. But same thing we did with Shane Waldron, right? Thomas Brown has to find a way to unlock him early in games. Like, that's the one thing no one's been able to do. And you fall way too far behind. And you can be excited all you want about what they did and stuff. It's still 20 points. It's still not enough points, right? It's still you're still not breaking 20 points a game because you can't get going early in games. Got to find a way to unlock this young talent as the game starts, because that's as bad about as bad as first half offensive football as I've seen. Yep. Right, so that was really, really bad. It was on the road, and we talked about the first drive. Silent cadence got to them, right? They tried to make a check. No one could hear them. It caused a lot of problems for that offense going through that game. And a lot of it is on, you know, there's just a lot. This team keeps making the same mistakes, keeps being the same team with no improvement.
Yep.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Postgame Show.
We're back with more of the Great Clips Postgame Show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
All righty. It is time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. It's a tough call for the receivers, but we've gone with DJ Moore. DJ Moore ended up covering all of his numbers for the game and had a touchdown in the game. You know, you could easily go with another receiver, but as far as who's called, well, that's the head coach. No explanation needed. And guys, I got to ask you. I mean, you know, the Bears have never fired a coach in season. This is kind of a beginning of a mini bye week. Does Matt Eberflus survive this? Do you believe that he will be coaching them when next they take the field in San Francisco?
Well, we talked to Dan Pompey, right? And he mentioned the kind of the different person in the building is Kevin Warren.
Yeah.
Right. So there's somebody, there's a new voice, an outside voice that is fresh, that has been with other organizations. I think he's been with both the Rams and the Vikings, and they've done different, you know, they run the organization differently. So I think he's going to weigh heavily in this decision. I think it's up to him if he's going to allow them to do it. But my opinion, he should be, because just as a player, he's causing losses. So I think he could be, yes.
Gosh, I'm looking at the sideline of the Bears, like with 15 seconds left. Eberflus, Kerry Joseph, T.J. Edwards, Homer, DeAndre Carter. Everyone's saying, hurry up with their hands. Everyone's doing
it,
right?
I know.
Some point, call timeout. He's not hurrying up. The young quarterback has to know has to look at the clock too, but you got to help him by calling timeout. Cole Kmet and DJ Moore aren't lined up. They're not lined up properly, and they got to switch on the line of scrimmage. A lot going on.
I don't know how you keep them after that. Olin, I don't know how you keep them. I don't know whoever's making the decision.
After the 5 weeks, right? After the
that's it.
Everything
six
that's
now. Yes.
Yeah, six.
Yes.
Yep.
Six. Cumulative.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Thanks to Aurelio's Pizza for delivering delicious food
for
today's game.
That was killing me.
Thanks.
Could not find that word.
Thanks to AureliosPizza.com and order from the nearest location.
All that Wordle's not helping. Shit.
Celebrating 64 years, it's the sauce. And thank you, Alexander Kuhn, for your great work. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your meal.
I will.
Happy Thanksgiving,
you too, man.
Guys, man.
See ya.